Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner, presented by the Sports Crib Network. Well, I'm your host, James King, better known as West Coast Steeler Fan, and tonight we are going to start off our show with Mr. Derek Silver. Derek, how are you doing tonight, and did I pronounce that last name correctly?
It's Silvera, close enough, buddy.
Silvera, okay. I've already kind of established before the show started that you're in Massachusetts, so having lived and moved here from Pittsburgh, I can understand the weather up here, and like I said, I kind of feel your pain. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Silvera and how you got into this game of boxing.
Well, I started boxing when I was a little kid. My stepfather, who raised me since I was a little tot, he was a professional boxer himself. So getting into it was always, just going with what he was doing. I've always played sports, high school athlete, and everything just kept pulling me back to the boxing world, so I stuck with it. I kept winning, and I really enjoyed being the only person on the team fighting, so it was better to get my win. Instead of sharing it with the whole team, you had everybody looking right at you. Pretty good.
Now, you won 9 in a row before losing to another Irishman up there we're well acquainted with, Mr. Danny O'Connor. And then after 2013, you put together 4 wins in a row. Why waiting so long in between fights? And do you feel that this is the reason why you have to kind of accelerate yourself now?
Well, we actually had a little time off because I had a few fights with broken elbow. I had bone spurs stuck in my elbow and we were fighting through the pain for like 4 fights. And after my last fight, after O'Connor, it was time to get that elbow fixed. It was my right elbow, and I couldn't really throw a right hand. So without my right hand, I was starting to get useless. So we went in. We had arthroscopic surgery, and then fixed the elbow, had some downtime with the recovery. And then I went to Vegas for training camp, and after training camp, we came back for a fight, but the fight got postponed. So I got back to work, and I ended up falling through cement stairs at work. I ended up tearing a muscle in my labral, left side of my labral muscle, in my hip, and we were fighting with workman's comp for a while to try to get surgery, and once we went through the courts, they approved the surgery. We had our surgery, and then from there we just went right into physical therapy and pushed the fight game because we had such a long layoff. We needed to get back in there as soon as possible. So I was in the gym 2 months after my surgery. They didn't want me to be in there for another 5 months, but I couldn't wait any longer.
Okay, now, you started 2017 off with a vengeance back in March, no, April. You had a TKO, and then you came right back and fought in May, right? And now your next bout, I believe, is August 5th against Mr. Michael Clark.
Yeah, he's a veteran. Mike Clark will fight in Quincy at the Marina Bay. It should be a great show. I'm excited. I'm the main event that night, so it's an honor.
Now, we have we've had a couple fighters on the show that tell us, including Floyd Mayweather, that says that he doesn't watch tape of his opponents. Are you of that same school, or do you watch tape?
No, I watch tape. I don't study the film. You know, you could start to over-evaluate your opponent and give him too much credit. So I look for a couple things on the video, not too much. I'll just see a little weaknesses, see where you got hit, and then it's more of a confidence booster than it is studying anyway. So I just like to get in there and do my own thing and see if my game plan works. And if it doesn't, I'm pretty good at switching up my game plan. So everything should go as planned. So we'll see what happens.
Well, no, it's interesting you say that because, famous words of Mike Tyson, everybody has a game plan until they get hit. And you speak about, already thinking of a backup plan. Do you find that to be advantageous, because basically, are you fighting, when you're fighting plan A, plan B, how do you find the correlation between the two? We see a lot of fighters, sometimes, they'll switch up to a southpaw stance. Sometimes there'll be some other things a little bit different. What's your concept on it?
Everybody has a plan, like Mike Tyson said, until they get hit. So going into it, I've always been a boxer, since before I even knew who Sugar Ray Leonard was, people were telling me that I used to fight like him. So as a little kid, I used to watch videos, and I noticed that being able to move is the better of the two between boxing and slugging. So my body build was big legs, small upper body. So I had a strong base, and my legs carried me a lot. I was a good soccer player all through grade school and high school. So I had a good base. So we just always was able to move. And if you look at Mayweather, he boxes the best out of the world. He doesn't get hit, and that's kind of the way he wins. You don't get hit, you can't lose. So I've always focused on trying to move. And if for some reason somebody is stronger than me and they come in and they can back me into a corner, I have to be able to go forward. So a boxer usually is better going backwards. So I had to focus on fighting forward. So that's all we did for a while. My trainer, who was my stepfather, he and I focused on going forward for a while and getting away from the boxing in order to go pro. Because being able to go pro, you have to be able to do both. You can't be a one-dimensional fighter. So when I get in there, I go back to my boxing skills, and if my boxing skills ain't working and I need to put my hands up and just get in the mix with them, that's what we're able to do now. We work a lot on the inside fighting, and we actually started excelling on it. And I actually, my last two fights, I focused too much on the inside fighting, even though it worked. Both shots on both fighters were body shots that stopped the fight. So, I mean, it's good, but I don't want to get too caught up in going forward. You know what I mean?
Now, you've actually been in the game since 2009 as far as your professional record. But you also spoke of all the different surgeries, your hip, your elbow. And a lot of times the rehab that you have in the medical facilities are not quite coincided with what it takes for you to get back in the ring physically. Did you find some contradictions in your physical therapy and what was necessary for you to do in order to get back in the ring?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, from 2 months out from physical therapy, we jumped right back in there. Even though I couldn't move as good as I wanted to, we kept trying, and I actually had a good physical therapist right here in my hometown, Salem. He's actually right across the street, and this guy named Ryan, he worked me, and he knew that I was a boxer, so he kept pushing me, and he told me things that I should be able to do at home, and as long as you follow the directions and you keep doing it, you don't just, you know, go do physical therapy there with them. You got to do it at home and keep working. It's like boxing. You don't just go to the gym and work out and that's it. You're going to come home. You're going to think about everything. You do some body work on your own, some shadow boxing at home. You got to play around with it. So that's what we did. And even now, at the point I am now, I still feel a little tension on my hip. I'm not as flexible as I was before the surgery, but we're still at home working on it. And I'm about 90%. So it's not hurting, but I'm not as flexible.
So does that limit the type of road work that you do? Does that, does that mean that you concentrate more on your body work, and making sure you have, that core strength?
I mean, not really. My work now is about the same. We do just about everything the same. We switched up a few things just because, not for the hip surgery, just because in training camp, you know, you're always switching up things to see what works best. And from where I'm at, I don't really feel anything in the gym. It's usually after the gym when I'm home, I'm stretching, and I can feel the tension on the muscles there. Trying to get past that, but it's just a little more recovery at the end of the night than it was before, so it's not too bad.
You also carried about a 46% knockout rate, and your last two fights, of course, I believe you had one TKO. And one retired, on the bench, on the stool. But have you noticed anything with your power since the elbow surgery?
Not really. If anything, it's better since after the surgery because, like I said, I really had no right hand. It was in a locked position. It really hurt to snap my punches. And even to get it hit in the arm when the arm was up, it was excruciating pain. Sometimes in the gym, I would drop down to a knee from the pain. So we actually stuck away from that right hand for a while. But now that it's back and we can work on that, and I have my right hand, which is my power hand, so the power is coming. It's a long process. I'm still not where I want to be, but I will get there pretty soon.
Now, you're fighting as a middleweight, and you're 31 years old, and we know right now what we would consider the best middleweight, at least to me, is Triple G, and he's about 34 years old. So do you feel the clock, kind of ticking down on here and feeling that you have to make your mark right away, especially in a very hot middleweight class?
Absolutely. I'm 31. I'm a young 31. If you look at me, I look more like 25, 26. Nobody believes that I'm 31. Plus, I've had a few years off from the game, so I'm really in the boxing world like 27. I didn't put too much strain on my muscles, and I've never really been hit that well, so my body's pretty good right now. I feel awesome. So I guess it's as good as you feel, you know. Like Bernard Hopkins, he was up there for a long time. So if I keep good, I mean, I don't drink, I don't party, I don't do any of that. I never have. So I feel like I have a long time in the game, but like you said, the window is closing and I need to get in there, and that's why we've had this will be the third fight in 4 months. So we're definitely trying to build that record, get the name back out there, so we can make our move. And you know, I have a family to look out for. So if I can make some money in the long run, that'll be great.
Now you've been signed by Main Events, am I correct?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said you've been signed by Main Events?
Yeah.
Kind of walk us through that. I mean, you know, after all of the struggles, the different surgeries and everything, and then still be recognized by Main Events, and being, you know, hey, like this is what your fourth fight in 2017. So, they seem to be putting you on an accelerated schedule. So, you know, what was that conversation like, when you got it?
Well, it was more my manager, Kevin Tobin, who spoke with them. I am very well informed through them with what's going on, and I know, Chris Traetti, him and I actually fought back in the day when we were kids, Silver Mitten days. So I've always been on their shows when he came around, and I've always came in, been classy, respectful, always on time, always dressed to impress, always made weight. So on that end, he knew that, I put on a show, I sell tickets, that there's nothing but respect between the both of us, and he puts on good shows. So on both ends, it was a pleasure. So it works out very well between us.
Now, you talk to some things here that kind of remind me of old school ways. You talked about, respect for the game. You talk about, being dressed and impressed. And then, you look at some of these, for lack of a better term, these more flashy guys out here. Triple G is a guy, of course, that, is very, does things in moderation. But out here on the West Coast, you see the flamboyancy, everybody's talking about the strip club, the cars. Do you think that this is actually, because when I moved out here, I was out here twice, actually. But the first time I was out here, I kind of looked at California and the West Coast a lot differently because I was born back east. Did you find it somewhat of a culture shock, you know, when you came out here to train in Las Vegas and you saw how much differently things were sort of handled differently out here?
I did. When I came out to Vegas, I seen some of the gyms out there, and I seen some of the fighters, and everything was too pretty for me. It was, you know, everybody had to have a nice gym, everybody had to have nice equipment. I grew up, my first gym was in the attic, and it used to get freezing in the winter, and in the summer it was so hot, all the heat rose. It was literally welcome to hell was the sign on our door because it got so hot up there. And we had old bags taped up, duct tape, equipment, you know, nothing pretty. Then we had a gym, we call it the shack because that's what it was, this little shack. It was a little private gym that, you know, we got put together. So, I mean, to train in all these fancy things, you got to train rugged. You got to see what you don't have and what you want to strive for. And for them to always, you know, they want the flashy stuff. They want this. See, what I want to be able to take care of my family, make sure they're good, show them the right ways. If you're just going after the fancy stuff, you're thinking about yourself. And that's just something I was never about, was myself. I always thought about everybody else. So I got a lot of fans from it. I got a lot of friends from it. And it's just who I've been. It's who my parents raised me to be. And it's just a way of living.
Now, you know, when you look on the East Coast, you know, in the middleweight division, you know, there's you got some guys down there in D.C. You got, you know, of course, you know, like I said, the man, Triple G, he's here. Canelo right now is training right out here in San Diego at the House of Boxing. When you look at you know, the careers of these two guys, and, you know, it's kind of when you mentioned, you know, your boxing years, you said you were 27, and that's just, I believe that's the same age that Canelo is right now.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, when you look at these two different middleweights, do you compare your style to either one, or do you?
Not really. I mean, as a middleweight, I'm not a natural middleweight. Right now, from the layoff, I did get a little heavy. I was up to 189 and sitting on the couch and just eating whatever I wanted to eat because I wasn't in training. So I got up to 189. So we came down to, you know, 165, and then we fought at 158 for the last couple fights. Now we're coming down to 54. Pretty soon we're going to be back down to welterweight, which is my natural weight. We just didn't want to come down too fast. So, I mean, my power with the middleweight is a little better. But, like, Triple G and Canelo, they're just naturally strong guys. They're just really big. Pretty good boxing on both sides. I think Canelo has a little upper hand on the boxing, and Triple G has a little upper hand on the power. But for me, I'm way, way below their class there right now. I've never really trained like I should have all growing up. You know, I've always put boxing as a hobby that I didn't settle down. And even when I first turned pro, you know, we'd just go in the gym for a couple hours and then leave. I didn't really do too much road work. I didn't put too much effort into it until I started seeing, you know, my age started coming down. I knew that I didn't have much time to play around. So now I'm actually in better shape than I was back when I was 20, 21, turning pro. So it's been a long time coming, and I definitely should have been in better shape when I was there. So I'm excited to show everybody what I'm actually capable of.
Well, you mentioned, let's see, we talked about your stepfather's your trainer. We've talked about main events signing, and you've mentioned that you're a family man. So tell us a little bit about Derek the Family Man.
Derek the Family Man. So my stepfather, my mother raised me. Doug Ware, he's, you know, real tough guy. He taught me everything I know, from tying my shoes to throwing my hands, and he's always been there. Nothing but love to him. I wouldn't be where I am today without him or my other trainer, Kevin Tobin, who's been in my life for a long time. They've just done everything for me, and I look at Kevin as another father figure. But they're just awesome guys. You know, they taught me everything I need to know to be that family. Respect women, respect everybody like you want to be treated. So I found my lady about 10 years ago, and we fell in love, and like they said, when you know, you know. So we actually have two children right now. I have a daughter who's 6 years old and a son who's 4, Skylar and Derek Jr. They're my world. They're everything that I fight for right now. So between them, work, and boxing, it's very fun, very tiring.
I can imagine, but at least you're past the terrible two, my man. So, yeah.
I was lucky, though. I was lucky. I didn't have terrible twos. I probably had terrible teenage years, though. They were very good growing up. I guess, you know, they are.
Once you become a parent, the whole ball game changes. I'm going to ask you for a couple last-minute predictions here because we know we have some good fights coming up. One will be this weekend. We're going to have the trainer, Mike Stafford, on right after you. So, you know, I'm referring to the Adrian Broner, Mikey Garcia. Who you got?
Surprisingly, I have Adrian Broner. I feel like, you know, he started going downhill after his loss. He didn't really care. So now I think he's a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and he doesn't want to lose again. So I think he's been taking this fight seriously. I can't take anything away from his opponent because, guess what, my money's on Adrian Broner.
Ah, okay. That's one vote for Cincinnati then, huh? Okay. Now, on that same card, it's a WBC middleweight eliminator. We have Jamal Charlo against a guy named Jorge Sebastian Heelan.
Interested in that fight. I'm more interested in that fight. I think Charlo is going to win, but I think Sebastian is going to surprise everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see now. Of course, we can't leave without asking you about the big one, and that's Canelo and Triple G.
See, I have so many thoughts. If I had to put money on it, I'd say because the man's power is ridiculous, and coming forward, that's both their styles. So Canelo has the better boxing, but Triple G has the more power, although Triple G does get a hit a little too much than I'd like him to.
Abel Sanchez says the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. That's going to be everybody's talking about the Mayweather fight right now between Conor McGregor and Mayweather, but I'm more interested in the Triple G Canelo. There's so many things that could happen in that fight. I'm definitely going to get that one.
All right, my man. Well, hey, we look to have you back on again soon. As always, we wish you luck. And, hey, make sure you put forth a good effort there, and we'll be talking to you right after your next fight.
I appreciate you having me on the show, man. It was a great opportunity. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, man, hey, nothing like a little West Coast exposure. So you have a great night, my man.
You too. Take care, buddy.
All right. That was Mr. Derek Silvera out of, I believe, Salem, Massachusetts. Young middleweight prospect, but he does anticipate on moving down. But right now I'm going to get Mr. Mike Stafford in. I know my listeners are waiting to talk to Mike and hear what he has to say about Adrian. So let's get Mike on the line here. That's the old Cincinnati area code, 513. Well, we got through the first course with Dolly. There's been a lot of traffic since they started the renovations in New York City, and I know it's been very tough getting around. So, let's see.
Please try later.
Hello, Mr. Let's see. All right. I'm going to have to send him a text here. Sorry for the dead time here. I'm just trying to I know they're probably in the last throes of training. I'm pretty sure tomorrow would be a travel day. Let's hope. But I do see a familiar. Let's see. Seem to be getting a text back now. Don't start. As I was saying, I think I see a familiar number here on that's Mike. He says 10 minutes, he's in an Uber, but I think I see a friend here on the switchboard from the 714 area. What's going on, my man? I thought that was Zoe. Okay. It's been a minute. But we have about 10 minutes before we can talk to Mike. And I'm just wondering if any of how do you guys feel about this latest tape interview from Mr. Mike Tyson. Everyone is saying what a mismatch this is, but it seems a lot of the money in Vegas is being placed on Conor McGregor, which are actually bringing the odds down. A lot of people that thought that perhaps they were, going to get this windfall, it's seeming less and less like Vegas is believing in Floyd. They say usually the odds makers know. But my thing is, when it comes to making the choice between whether you're going to watch Floyd Mayweather or a Triple G Canelo fight, a real fight, which would you decide to watch? I know, a lot of people may be getting two, maybe watching two. Some are, go to a friend's house and watch, different things like that. But when it really comes down to it, if you have to spend this much money, and another thing, as my co-host and I have talked about many times, this could actually come down to the difference between an event and a boxing match. We'll have Mike in a few minutes. Whenever you hear when you think of the undercard to this Floyd Mayweather fight, I mean, the undercard is stacked with young talent. He has stacked with Mayweather, young Mayweather talent, including champ Gervonta Davis. These guys are going to be featured on the pay-per-view. So when you think about, young champs, young opportunities, Floyd is definitely presenting a platform for these young guys. Now, I'm not sure if all of the Canelo, if the undercard for the Canelo card has all been announced yet. So I'm also guessing that it's going to, depend a lot on these undercards. As I said, I'm sure they'll be holding open sessions for Canelo soon. I'll get to one of them and talk to Mr. Bill Kaplan, Golden Boy Advisor. I'm sure I'll see him and Don Charg in there, and we'll get more word on the undercard. And also, if you go back to our archives, when Canelo fought Triple G, when Canelo fought Floyd, all of his advisors were against him fighting Floyd, talking about age, experience, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to see if they feel the same way about this fight. Has Golden Boy, studied Triple G and thought they saw some kinks in the armor, and this is the reason why they want this fight? Also, Canelo being 27 years old, Triple G being 7 years or more older? Is it possible that Triple G is looking to cash out? A Canelo with two losses to Floyd Mayweather and Triple G is still marketable. So is this, you know, like one of those high risk, high reward for Canelo, or is it low risk, high reward for Canelo? Still waiting to get word in here from okay. Also, we have some other fights coming up. You know, have been kind of overshadowed by all of the upcomings of the Floyd fight, the Canelo fight. But hey, you know, there's still some great fights being put on here. In the month of August, we have August 5th up right here in L.A., we have Lomachenko defending his junior lightweight title. We have Ramon Beltran back in the ring again. Then in Atlantic City, you have Derek Webster, Miss Lisa Garland, Quincy Mass, of course. We're talking about Derek Silvera, the main event that we have just interviewed a few moments ago. August 10th. Oh, also August 11th, CBS Sportsnet. Don't forget to catch the Real Deal Boxing. That'll be their premier event for the weekend. August 19th, Terrence Crawford in the ring, back in Lincoln, Nebraska, for perhaps his last time before he accepts the Garden as his home. So we'll see how that works out. Okay, well, we're just waiting for Mike to call in. Our call in number 718-506-1506. Wow, someone must have just hit a skunk outside. Okay, guess that's what we get for doing the broadcast outside. Smell might definitely take us inside, though, but hey, it's California. We're trying to be nice out here. You know, also, we have some rumors here that Sean Porter might be okay. Yeah, Sean Porter is probably moving up at least a weight class. This should probably be his last performance at welterweight, I believe. Porter's looking to move up a division, and that's reported by Mr. Dan Raphael, whom we all know, is spot on. I was wondering, I was talking to Pat Russell earlier today, and I actually wanted to bring Pat on tonight, but he has been designated to be a judge at the Lomachenko fight, so there's somewhat, on a political not publicity hiatus until after the fight. And one thing that Pat pointed out, he was talking about how people sort of rushed to the side of Teddy Atlas and Stephen A. Smith when they were talking about how unreputable and what they insult the Pacquiao decision was to boxing. And he didn't agree with that vehemently. Pat, you know, kind of said that, you know, after sitting down, watching the fight, there's rounds that could have went either way. And it could have been a close decision for either Pacquiao or Mr. Jeff Horn. Now, I didn't have a dog in the race. I can't say that I'm a big Pacquiao fan. So, therefore, well, it looks like we're not going to be able to get Mr. Stafford in tonight because I definitely want to talk to Mike Rodriguez. Maybe I'll call him at 7:30. Let's see. I'm going to send him a text, and we'll see if we can get him at 7:30, and I will bring Mike Rodriguez in right now. All right, let's see what happens from here. But anyway, I'm gonna call Mike Rodriguez, and I'm sure we can kind of. I think he even may be in New York. Let's see. So let's see if we can get Mike in here. Hello, Mike.
Three, five, hello. 7, 4, 1, 3, 6.
Wow, nobody wants to talk to me tonight. What's going on here? Let's see if I can call him from. Well, it looks like no one wants to talk to us tonight. Mr. Mike has said he'll come on at, Mike Stafford has said he'll come on at 10:30. He seems to be stuck in traffic. I'm trying to get Mike Rodriguez in, and let's see. Thing about Mike is, you know, Mike is a homicide detective, so he might be out on call. So while we have a little dead space here, I'm going to, let's see if I can try to find something appropriate to play. What about Lola? Let's see. Ah, there you go. What about Little Des?
People look at you strange saying you changed, like you worked that hard to stay the same, like you're doing all this for a reason. And what happens most of the time, people change. People change around you because they start treating you different because of your success.
We the best music!
Zombie on the track.
Another one.
Ever since the nigga hit the top, put the niggas wanna see me in the box. They don't love you no more.
They don't love
you
no more.
Shit ain't been the same since I came through when they had shit. They gon' talk about that you ain't got shit. They gon' talk about you when you got shit. All eyes on me, come on my pop shit. Y'all rap niggas on some pop shit. I been ducking paparazzi with a pop shit. Glock 30 in the cockpit. Sippin' dirty, conversating with the pilot. Nigga, you ain't seen it, I been fucking up arenas. I went double them the G's. We the motherfucking meanest in the cleanest in the long time. You pussy niggas saying on me, be the wrong time. Long line, ball, limp, mink, drag. New pin, wag. Blood dripping on me, looking like a nigga stabbed. I be on the money, back and soda in the cabin. Pirate, tryna whip a rollie, making mad. Bad, at you fuck niggas getting mad. If I feel threatened, I'ma go and get a ladder. Climb up your chest, nigga. Motherfuck your vest, nigga. Motherfuck your couch, I'm with you.
Okay, let's see. As I said, Mike is a homicide detective, and he is in L.A. It might not be Chicago to, other people, but the murder rate in L.A. Is something else that's very disturbing. A lot of it very gang-related. So let's hope that Mike is either in New York or perhaps he's in the air. But we'll definitely check him out in a moment.
Pour a cup for the bitches that ain't scared to get down.
Get down, get down. We the best music.
How many times I got light another for the bitches who just only in time.
Another one.
DJ Khaled. How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over?
Don't
I fuck you right? Have you walking from side to side? You know how a nigga feel about wasting time. You know how I feel about waiting in line. You know he ain't it, girl, you're wasting your time. You're only this young for a moment in time. Take it in stride. How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over?
How many
times I
gotta
tell that ass to come over? How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over? I fuck you right. Have you walking from side to side?
How many times I got to tell you I to come over? How many times I got to tell you I got a chauffeur? Think about it, think it over. Everything is gonna be kosher. Call me when you're getting closer. If you take a text, say how much I owe ya. Don't send me no naked pictures. If I can't get naked with you, this dick deserves recognition. I don't mind paying that commission. Is you with the shit or not? If we ain't fucking in bitch by voyage. How many times I say how many times? Too many times and bitch, I ain't got time.
How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over?
Don't you?
I fuck you right. Have you walking from side to side? You know how a nigga feel about wasting time. You know how I feel about waiting in line. You know he ain't it, girl, you're wasting your time. You're only this young for a moment in time. Take it in stride. How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over? How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over? I fuck you right. Have you walking from side to side?
How many times?
Okay, phone off the hook, yeah, that bitch won't stop blinking. I pick up for you, don't want a second ring. You been drinking and drinking, you drinking for fun and you drink for a reason. Yeah, leave your boyfriend and call me when you're leaving. Call the shots, refereeing, no drama. Pussy so wet, I'ma need drama meaning. Mattress, I could fiend it. Boy, I like to block up young Billie Jean. And I'm dodging the leeches, I'm signing agreements. I'm signing new artists, I sell out arenas.
Swimming with the dolphins on the damn arena. Wine mixing, this shit like the Catalina. B.I.G. minus.
Prince puffin' little C's. I'm on my grind, 3 a.m. text like I need you. Dream about the pussy, fuck it, I'm a dreamer. Hold me down, but don't hold me back like I need you to damn. I wrote myself $1 million check in fifth grade. I put it on the wall and promised it be this way. She fucked me like she want the rent paid, like she want that Oscar De La Renta. I slow it down like it's a favorite ballad, then go back up at it like I hadn't had it. Straight up.
How many times I gotta tell that ass to come over? I fuck you right, have you walking from side to side? How many times? Pour a cup for the bitches that ain't scared to get down.
Get down, get down.
How many times I gotta light another for the bitches who just only in time?
Thanks for the Pugilist Corner. As I said, looks like Mike is either out on a call or he's on an airplane. So I'm not really sure. My co-host is stuck in airplane mode, in traffic mode. So let's see. Ring Magazine. Let's look up Ring Magazine. Let's see some of the things that they're talking about in Ring Magazine. Yeah. I guess a lot of boxing fans have embraced and gotten used to this new Ring Magazine format. I myself, maybe I'm just too old school, but I thought the old format was much easier to follow, much easier for the boxing fan to get. I mean, there are certain things, in boxing, and maybe, it goes back to when you talk about the guys on the Herd and Sports Take and First Take and Undisputed. When you hear about journalism, I want to disagree with a lot of these guys, Herd, I forget what his big-headed friend is, what his name is, but anyway, it was just amazing to me how they say that journalism is dead because everyone wants to be on TV. And you say, well, no, journalism is not dead. You can go on all of these, boxing sites and all of the boxing news. But boxing news has become a series of pages with pictures. It's almost like my weekly reader. You have a few pages of copy above, you have a headline, then you have, the byline for the writer when it was written, then you have a few pages of script, then you have, a picture, you have another couple sentences of script under that, you show another picture, or some guys, some boxing sites are even better than that. They will put the printed article down, and there'll be a video on top telling you what's exactly in the article below. So, have we become such a nation of non-readers that it's even extended over into our sports. Now, you know, I'm not just going to put this on boxing. You can do the same thing in football, college football and basketball included. There's an article that, you know, who was this freshman here, the top 10 freshmen of the year. And then there's a video, and the announcers are telling you exactly what's in the article below. There's a ranking, one little sentence, two, name, a few sentences, maybe even a paragraph. But is it the fans' fault that reading is not necessary these days? Are the fans drawn more to the flashy headlines and pictures and just in other words, in the computer, in this computer age, have we forgotten about the real fan? You know, the fan that wants to sit down, after coming home from work, and having some time with the family, instead of turning on the TV, he wants to go to the computer and catch the latest sports news. Well, it's a computer, but it's no longer the written page. I get my ESPN magazine, and I very faithfully wait for it. Not just because of the body issues, because I get to get, you know, such a dirty mind, but because I actually want to see, I want to feel the pages. I want to, you know, I mean, it feels like I've done something constructive rather than move a pointer or, press enter or, you can even have your emails read to you now. So, there's absolutely no need. You can record things on your phone. There's an app for every station. There's a YouTube plug-in, Snapchat, a lot of ways that you can caught up on in the world of sports. So, when you have a kid, as a journalism degree become as important as a liberal arts degree, have we truly let technology, rule absolutely? We're talking about driverless cars, electric cars. We already have robots that will clean your floors and different things. As the written script, is it also becoming aware of the dinosaur? Have we just become a world of video photographers and camera phones. You know, is it really necessary for you to see what breakfast cereal I eat in the morning? You know, do I have to watch you? You know, through your 10 or 12 miles of road work, 5 miles, whatever it is. You know, have we taken the privacy away from the fighter? You know, now, of course, you know, we want to know everything about the fighter. You know, how many of your legitimate kids you got? You know, how many times you've been in court for speeding? Is there any domestic violence on your record? I mean, I don't. Excuse me, a little dry here. I don't know whether it's necessary but then we also come back to a thing called self-promotion. A lot of the young fighters that we have on the show, the reason for having them on the show is to give them a format, hopefully, of things to come. When they have their time on the scale at the weigh-in, when you know the press is asking them questions, when they're the co-main event, you know, when they're the main event, you know, how do you handle you know, all of these people, cameras, and people wanting interviews? Well, you know, it's just like anything else. You start in elementary school. And yes, I'm saying this is elementary school because we're just a start. You know, as much as we would love to be a part of the mainstream, you know, we get our share of listeners. But, hey, you know, we have no major sponsors. And we're as much as we talk back and forth to the different boxing sites, you know, I mean, there's no official affiliation other than, you know, all striving for a mutual goal, which is to make sure that the fans know what's going on with the boxer, what's going on with the industry. And you know how we are actually performing against the norm. Should you know how much self-promoting should one do? And I think this comes down to the fighter. Like I said, I think once again, you know, this comes down to the fighter, his particular circumstances. One of the guys that promotes himself best is Alantis Fox. He is one that you know, he'll talk to anyone and everyone. He has never gotten too big that he has never remembered the people that you know, has given him a chance, whether they be big names or not. But you, before a fight, before be it his fight or his brother's fight, he makes sure to get the word out there. He makes sure to see that you know, when there are fights of his weight class or where there's going to be a lot of cameras. You see him there. Enough about self-promotion. I want to talk a little bit now about the Pauli Malignaggi and Mike Tyson, the two separate takes. But were they really separate takes? Mike, as of course, expressed in his own way that this would be something brutal, that Floyd would have no problem with this, whether it went 12 rounds or 2 rounds, you know. As I was saying earlier, the Vegas odds are actually dropping. And this was after said that McGregor had some pop. But what the hell does that mean? He has some pop. Okay. Does that mean that he's going to knock Floyd out? Does that mean that you're going to put your money on McGregor to beat Floyd? The man is a MMA champion. I would hope that he has some pop. He has to strike as well as ground and pound. So, I mean, for him not to have any pop seems a little vague at best. Now, for Mike Tyson to think about Floyd hurting McGregor, here's the thing that I'm looking for. And I know, you know, people are you know, maybe we'll talk about this later and say, you know, like you know, that this was this was not a good response. But here's my take on this. I actually think that Floyd will win this fight on cuts. I think that Floyd will pepper McGregor at some time or another. Floyd will cut McGregor. And I'm not saying by headbutt. I said cut McGregor, you know, with a punch. I'm not sure that you know, Floyd is a Nate Diaz. I'm not thinking that Floyd is going to knock McGregor out. I think I think, you know, knowing Floyd, and I think I know his mentality well, I think this is a fight where he would want to punish McGregor. And I think that's the best strategy. Don't go in there thinking that you're going to knock the bigger man out, but punish him while you can. Make sure that he's following you around the ring, not even chasing you, but not negotiating the ring on you. So I think Floyd is going to be very brutal and deliberate in this fight. And like I said, you can call it petty, I'm thinking old school here. I remember, how some of the old masters did it. I'm just hoping that Floyd doesn't get overconfident and try to fight, especially after he wins a few rounds and feels that he's ahead. Floyd will take some chances when you know he feels that he's far enough ahead, and these have gotten him into trouble before. I'm not thinking of anything less than a very brutal and vicious fight by Floyd. Connor will receive a boxing lesson. We've seen him get frustrated at opponents before. You know, this is boxing, not MMA. You can't just, that could possibly be the other thing that happened. Will Connor get disqualified? I think that's more of a possibility than anything else. Can you imagine, a wrestler, fighting, being at a disadvantage and not, feeling that, he at least wants to grab his opponent in some kind of precarious way while they're in the corner. Hopefully we'll have a referee that's quick enough to stop it. You also have to think about, could McGregor and his temper possibly DQ? There's a lot of possibilities here. Very few open windows, I would say, for Connor. But, we'll see. And once again, the undercard for Floyd, really makes this purchasing this fight worth it. You have Mayweather Promotions guys on the card. If you've seen any young fighter more fitted to be on Floyd undercard than you haven't seen Mr. Gervonta Tank Davis. Be sure and catch that as he defends his world title. We're definitely another gentleman from Baltimore that we wanted to get on the show since his last fight has been canceled, and we don't know when he's going to be featured again. It's one Mr. Jared Hurd. We'd also like to get him on the show. Of course, the Peterson brothers, we're hoping for some news from them very soon about what's going to happen there at the new MGM the Washington, D.C. area. Make sure you to the MGM. Most of us, I say this, this is my own conviction. You feel as you do, but please stay at the MGM. Boycott Trump Tower and Industries as much as you can. Let's hope that elected senators will pass a honorable bill and make sure that anywhere from 24 to 33% of us, 24 to 33 million of us will be able to get the best affordable care when we need it. I'm going to try Mike once again. Okay, let's see. Maybe we can get at least two guests on tonight. Sadly, I'll have to go back in and edit this, and you won't feel my pain. Oh, my God. Speaking of a night of frustration, you know, this is where the little witty chatter between me and my co-host is very important. Of course, tonight the only thing that you heard is my dumb ass, and I thank God that we do have editing devices. I will be definitely making sure that happens. Okay. I feel like I'm caught in the jaws of a great white shark here. I can't hit him in the eye. I can't do anything now but try to ride this thing out. Seems as if we still can't get Mr. Stafford on. Okay. It's painful. You would think I was asking someone for their firstborn. I don't know. It must be something that's in the air today. The electric went off the grid. I'm not sure. My seasoned veterans one more time. Okay. Let's try. Mr. Stafford, one more time here.
The number you have dialed is not answering. Please try later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to be one of those nights where we're going to be a 30-minute show. unfortunately, tonight, a lot of our guests weren't able to come on at their allotted time. As I said, Mr. Mike Rodriguez, judging from all that's happened, evidently he's at the scene of a tragedy or in an airplane, one of the two. Mr. Mike Stafford, I'm not exactly sure exactly what happened there. We were trying to get the trainer for the flamboyant Mr. Adrian Broner. We were trying to get him on the show tonight. And also, Mike is a very staunch amateur coach, and we wanted to ask him. Of course, there's always questions about our amateur program, we wanted to talk to him about that as well as our own. As well as our own American fighters. Unfortunately, tonight things do happen. We will, of course, make sure that Mr. Derek Silvera gets his segment on. So important, like I said, for some of these young fighters to. Make sure that they perform, and we look forward to being back on the air next week with a full array of guests, and we thank you very much for listening to the Pugilist Corner tonight. Have a great night. We will be talking more Sunday, of course, on our weekend wrap. We'll be discussing the Adrian Broner fight as well as the Chalo fight, implications, where things go from there. And, we thank you very much for listening to us tonight, and we hope next week to bring you a much better quality show. Thank you very much, everyone, and you have a great night.